the Rabble Podcast Network Show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
House, the African Podcast.
September the 2nd, and welcome to another episode of Pulse, the African Podcast, brought to you by Africa Files in association with the Rabble Podcast Network. We are still looking at the AIDS conference, which was held in Toronto. And first off is Solly Mokose. He is the Chief Financial Officer for the South African Broadcasting Corporation. He is also the chairperson for the African Broadcast Media Partnership. He talks about the role of the media in increasing awareness about AIDS prevention and care. Straight after that, we will have Justin Macheri, who works with an AIDS organization in Somalia. He talks about the work of the organization he works for, as well as the role of artists in the dissemination of information regarding AIDS. Now, to take us there is the South African artist Ringo Mahlingozi.
So much for joining us today. You're going to be a part of a media panel discussion at the conference. What is the message that you want to deliver here at this conference?
Well, the message we want to communicate is a message of hope and a message that Africans are capable of being able to help themselves with the help of the world. We as media broadcasters have come together to formulate a pool of resources from Africa, of broadcasters, that wants to be a vehicle of communicating new messages coming from Africa on how they are combating and dealing with this pandemic of HIV and AIDS.
This is a new group of several dozen broadcasters, yes, brought together with the help of Kaiser, I should say.
Well, this is a group which calls itself the African Broadcast Media Partnership, which is under the auspices of the Global Media AIDS Initiative that was started by the United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan. And of course, yes, we are assisted by the Kaiser Foundation, and we have already held our own sessions in Africa to devise our own strategies and our own framework of how we are going to be able to bring about a new message of hope in Africa. We are saying we need to dedicate resources, our own resources as broadcasters, first and foremost. And then secondly, we need to give away airtime, more airtime, about 5% of our airtime, of our daily programming, about 18 hours, 5% of 18-hour broadcast, dedicated specifically towards new communication of HIV and AIDS messaging.
And has there been a determination, Sally, about what kind of messaging works to the target audience, in this case, young people?
Yes, what we have established is that young people have become very bored and tired of messages that have been communicated about HIV and AIDS so far, because the approaches and the methodology have been somewhat sometimes condescending, somewhat very boring. For example, in the form of political statements and press conferences and etc. And what we are saying is the communication of HIV and AIDS messaging has to be in everyday life of the youth. It should not be just public service announcements, PSAs, which are important, and we're not saying we should abandon that. But they should see that in the drama that they watch, in the lifestyle magazine shows that they watch, in the soapies that they watch. And we have succeeded to be able to do that, to begin to embed and inculcate HIV and AIDS messaging within the everyday programming that people watch as young people. So we are saying we need to change the manner in which we communicate. The messaging may well be the same. It is about prevention. It is about treatment. It is about changing your lifestyle. But how do you communicate it is the key.
And how do you, number one, define success? And how do you measure success in a media campaign?
Well, the definition of success obviously has to be how the amount of people who are responsive to your messaging. And of course, whether in fact it does have an impact at all or not in changing their lifestyles. Well, the uptake has been very slow so far, in that people have got the messaging, but they have never changed their lifestyles. But research has also established that once we begin to change the messaging, you are capable of seeing some significant results. A recent survey that has been conducted by the Nelson Mandela Foundation as well as the Human Science Research Council in South Africa demonstrated that at least there is now a very, very big awareness within, for example, in South Africa amongst the youth. And the prevalence rate is beginning to taper off. So we are beginning to be encouraged ourselves by the research that we're seeing, and this continuous monitoring by organizations such as the Kaiser Foundation to see whether these messages are actually having an impact.
Isn't it difficult to establish the cause and effect relationship between a media campaign and behavior change?
It is true that it could be very difficult to have an empirical determination. However, the purpose of our campaigns are intended to have a lifestyle and attitudinal change. And I think those are measurable. And when that happens, you then ask yourself, how else would that information have been communicated that would have led to a lifestyle or attitudinal change? It can only be through media messaging, through information sharing, through education. Which vehicle exactly may be difficult to determine, but there is no doubt that there is no way you can change people's attitude unless they are well informed.
The South African Broadcasting Corporation is, by and large, state-funded. Has that ever made it difficult for you to deliver the AIDS messages that you've wanted to through the SABC? Given the position of the South African government regarding AIDS at different periods of time?
Well, not necessarily. I think there is a very distinctive point we need to be aware of about the nature of the SABC. The SABC is a public service broadcaster. In other words, that it regards itself to be more, to be answerable to the public, more than being answerable to government or to the state. It is does not regard itself as a state broadcaster. Indeed, since 1994, the successive boards of the SABC have tried to actually extricate itself and its way of working from being seen to be a state broadcaster. In that sense, it is expected that at certain times, our communication or the messaging that we communicate may not necessarily be consistent with what government says. However, it is exactly what the public out there wants. And we regard ourselves to be subject to the needs and requirements of the public. Now, I don't necessarily believe that there is a conflict in any case in what we communicate with what government says. There may be well be some interpretation that is different and an emphasis and a difference in emphasis. But I think that it is within the interest of the government to see messages being communicated to the young people of South Africa to ensure that we are able to stamp out this pandemic of HIV and AIDS.
But where are there pockets of resistance that you find when you talk about this notion of mainstreaming the AIDS message in the media, through the media?
Well, I mean, you find people saying that, they don't want... For example, I'll just give you a typical example. In South Africa recently, we had a drama production which was called Yizo Yizo, a very, very strong, hard-hitting drama, which was showing... relating life in the prison and of course talking about infection of and the spread of HIV and AIDS among prisoners. Now, it was so hard and so upfront and so direct that many people were rudely awakened to that reality. It is a reality that everyone knows it happened, but they just never expected it. And this is exactly what we are saying, that we as the national public broadcaster, it is our responsibility to push the envelope, to present content that is on the cutting edge, that is going to make society to stop and ponder and ask questions. Not the kind of information that has become standard. Right now, for example, in South Africa and in Africa in general, the youth have become so used to messaging of HIV and AIDS that people take it for granted that when you are young, you are going to die at the age of 36. That the lifespan of anybody who is an African is going to be 36. Well, we are saying, no, it is not so. It is not a given that you have to die at the age of 36. You can be able to prevent, you can be able to get treatment, you can be able to combat HIV and AIDS. And so we are using new methodologies of communication and new vehicles to communicate the message of hope and the message of an ability to fight back.
A final question. My guess is that when you are speaking on your panel, there will be a lot of broadcasters from every part of the globe listening to you. What is the single take-home message that you want them to leave that room with?
It is that media messaging must change. We need to listen more to our young people about how they want to be communicated about this HIV pandemic. And I think that the whole world must begin to stop. Let me just give you an example. I was just thinking yesterday on the flight. I was going through London and went through one of my worst and harassed travels ever. And I travel all the time as I was going through London. And I was thinking, if the whole world can be so focused about the fact that there's some terrorists who want to blow away 12 planes that would probably kill, let's say, a million people, well, I think the world is right to do so. But consider this for a fact, that just this past year, more than 2.4 million people died of HIV and AIDS in Africa. That, I was saying to myself, it is 10 times the number of people who were killed by 9/11 bombing. 10 times 9/11. Wouldn't that make anyone to stop and say, let's unite our efforts to do away once and for all with this pandemic?
Thank you very much.
do you care about social and economic justice? Join Africa Files, a network of volunteers committed to promoting African perspectives and alternative analysis for human rights and economic justice in Africa. Visit www.africafiles.org.
So we're joined here by Justin Micheri, who works with an AIDS organization in Somalia. He's here for the AIDS conference, and we just caught up with him at the concert for Thomas Mapumo, which was being held at Harbourfront Center. Justin, tell us a little bit about the organization that you work with.
It's a Catholic-based organization based in the UK, but doing programs in 11 countries in the world. Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, and also in America. What I do in the Somali, we actually work in the north of Somalia, which is called Somaliland. It's a breakaway country, and we do HIV/AIDS programming there. My main role at this moment is working with APEX organization, which are trying to address HIV/AIDS. The civil society organizations, as well as the government-related agencies. Recently, we also started programs with faith-based organizations, which are mostly Muslim Islamic organizations.
The African delegates have been talking about broken promises. As an organization, what are you looking at in terms of this conference?
Certainly, the commitment to funding HIV/AIDS interventions and programs in Africa cannot be overlooked. So I hope that the conference theme is time to deliver. I hope this is the time the powers be, which is mostly bigger corporations and bigger governments like America and Europe, should deliver in terms of funding ARVs for Africa and basic research for interventions in Africa to help Africans be more responsive to the epidemic of HIV.
How has HIV and AIDS affected Somalia?
Where I am based is considered to be low prevalence as a country, but there is a window of hope to contain the epidemic, the problem of HIV before it reaches its epidemic phase. So there is an opportunity for governments and civil society to really address the issue of stigma and HIV as it is in its early stages to avoid the crisis.
It's been the end of a long day, obviously, for you guys. In and out of conferences, and right now you're listening, you've just come to watch Thomas Mapumo. Now, do you think artists have a role to play in the spreading of the message?
Yeah, first of all, like you said, it's been a long day. I have to touch base with a bit of entertainment. I sincerely believe that artists have got a greater role to play in the fight against HIV/AIDS stigma. In the conference, we've seen the commitment done by Richard Gere, Alicia Keys, and others who are ambassadors in this fight against HIV/AIDS. I believe people also like Thomas Mapumo have a very big role. So now we're going to be entertained as well as listening to some positive messages from the big entertainers.
Nice. Thank you very much, Jason. I'm going to let you go dance to Thomas Mapumo.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Playing in the background there is Thomas Mufumo. The song is called Mukondombera, which means AIDS. We kicked off this last part of our wrap-up of the AIDS conference with Sondela, a song by the talented Ringo Mathlingozi from South Africa. This was followed by Dolly Mokose of the SABC. He's also the chair for the African Broadcaster Partnership. He talked about efforts by African broadcasters to help in the fight against AIDS, and he focused on positive messaging. Mokosle's interview was conducted by the KZN Network. You may remember that they were the official webcasters for the 2006 AIDS conference. Next on the list was Justin Mucheri, who talked about his work in Somaliland, as well as the role of artists in the fight against AIDS. We apologize for the poor sound quality for that clip. As you probably heard, it was recorded at a live concert featuring Thomas Mapumo. Incidentally, this also marks the end of our coverage of the 16th AIDS conference. We talked to various guests on issues affecting the youth of Africa, the churches, the media, as well as artists, as we all join together in the fight against a disease that is decimating families across the continent. If I've learned anything at all in the last few weeks, it is that the fight against AIDS is everyone's fight. We must care enough to protect ourselves. We must love enough to care about our friends and family members who have been infected. The time to stigmatize people living with AIDS is gone. We must support each other. We must support efforts to lobby our governments for better prevention and care methods. The 16th International AIDS Conference has come and gone. The big question is, did it make a difference? Is the hungry child in Zambia better off in the aftermath of Toronto 2006? Perhaps not. But the energy gleaned from this conference may prove to be valuable. It was interesting to see a lot of African organizations meeting on the sidelines of the conference to map out strategies to combat AIDS on the continent. We fervently hope that these newly forged relations may continue to prosper long after Toronto 2006. For Pulse, this is Silence Genty. It has been my singular pleasure to be on this journey with you. Till next time, stay safe.
You have been listening to Pulse, the African podcast.